with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year from the Grilling Guys. This is the New Year's Eve edition, and I hope you're out of bed. And if you're smoking up some stuff for your guests that are coming over tonight, you better build a fire, because you're going to want to be eating in about 12 hours from right now, and that's what it's going to take to smoke any pork shoulder that you're going to need to do on your smoker. Had a couple buddies that got new smokers from Santa Claus. Both of them went pellet, Bob.
Really?
Yeah, they both went pellet, and I had talked to them. They both called, and we talked about regular charcoal.
And what
we
brand did about, they go with?
You know, I don't know, because they were purchased for them, you know. But
it probably was Traeger's.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, they both gravitated to the kind of set it and forget it with the rheostat and the hopper full of pellets that feeds itself. And, you know, the beauty of that is you do get a pretty really stable and consistent result.
So these guys would be the type that their idea of camping is at a hotel as well, then.
Well, I don't know about that, but they aren't bringing their electric smoker with them. It's got an auger on it. I can guarantee that. At least to the
island. There's a correlation there of, right, you know, the people that like the more rustic stuff maybe have to have charcoal,
right,
a little more purist, and the Hilton, you know, down the hall for the ice guys might like a pellet smoker because they're a little more pampered.
Right. And they're and you know, these guys aren't either one of them real accomplished grillers, but they wanted to get a good result. And that's where
I say their names now.
No, I'm not going to. It doesn't matter. But the point was, is with the pellet grill, you got the rheostat on there, it keeps a consistent temperature and your results tend to be better. You still got variables, right?
You've learned to love yours.
I have, even though I've caught it on fire a couple times. I've also learned how to put it back together after I clean it properly.
Yeah. Well, there's that maintenance thing you have to
right
do.
Yeah, very important.
Yes.
Very important.
Listen, but anyway, you learned many lessons there.
Right, yeah.
Like, where should the thing be placed?
Right, yeah. The garage gets smoky if you don't have it just outside the door, right? Yeah, but it was raining.
Right, if you put it in the right place, it'll actually catch the garage on fire.
Right. Haven't had that happen. Yep, haven't had that.
Oh, it's happened to so many people. Yeah. Anyway, talking about accidental recipes, in as much as we try to lay back on the carbs, when the kids are around, I like making homemade mac and cheese. And there's a bunch of variations to, like, southern mac and cheese that I've ripped off or adopted or whatever, you know, usually leveraging an old recipe or somebody else's recipe. And this one was dandy, and it only happened accidentally because I accidentally had some lobster. I don't typically buy lobster.
Not one of my favorite things to eat.
I love lobster. Honest. Oh, I love it. But I had to do something with this, and I only had two small tails. So one way to share it is in a casserole, and mac and cheese is wonderful. So I did some southern mac and cheese, and I actually took time, I think, to write down
what makes
steps.
It southern.
You know, I think from the barbecue world, they call it southern just because it's, you typically put a little cayenne and a little mustard in it. But this one, I've been playing around with different cheeses, and I had some brie. So I skinned the outside of the brie, which I don't think you really have to do, but I always freak out a little bit over that white stuff. And so I shredded a whole complete little loaf. I think it's a pound package. And, of course, my base is always with Velveeta, American cheese.
Sure.
Because
I'm not sure Velveeta's cheese. It's not even refrigerated, but I get it. I like it, too.
Yeah, it's...
I'm not sure what it is, though.
It is. It's processed milk. It's an early stage of cheese, just like La Fromage, you know, many of the La Fromage.
Yeah. It's an early stage of a plastic dish.
Well, brie is kind of the same way. It's an earlier stage of cheese. It's not nearly as mature as like an aged cheeses, which is why it's so soft and so good. But so using I used actually a whole grain macaroni, which I don't have on the recipe here, but I do tend to try and buy those just so I can get rid of some guilt. And
yeah, I'm about to put 3 pounds of cheese on this whole grain macaroni. Somehow that's okay.
Well, there's bacon and lobster going in too. So one little thing when you do this Southern mac and cheese is be careful not to get your macaroni well done or soft. It should be a little bit rigid, because what I'm going to try and talk you into is doing this sauce a little bit on the sloppy or liquid side. You don't want the sauce to be too thick either. And if so, that way, if your macaroni is not quite done, and you're putting this sauce in, then you're going to throw it in the oven and bake it for a little bit.
Right.
The pasta itself turns out just perfect, but we're going to use some butter and some Velveeta, a pound of brie, water, a couple lobster tail, a half pound or a pound of bacon, depending on how much you do, salt and pepper, and I forgot to put on here cayenne,
okay,
and powdered mustard, and because I was whipping this out. After coming back from Fen Valley, and I couldn't remember all my notes. So you basically, I learned to grill lobster in Australia, and they do it really cool down there. They take like scissors or a blade, and they cut up the back of that tail, and they make a long cut all the way along the back. And when you grill it, legs down, that tail kind of puffs up beautiful right out of the shell. It's a tremendous presentation, but it's just a good way to grill it, because you can actually affect that meat with a little bit of spice and aromatics if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Again, apologize for the cold.
So you grilled it first, then took it out, cut it up.
I did. I grilled the lobster and then cooled it. And then I just basically fried up some bacon. And then I had this Alaskan knife. The round rocker knife.
Uli.
Yeah, an uli. And I put that on the board and chopped that bacon up really nice and small. Those ulis are so nice for that. And then made the sauce. So I got throw the cheese in a saucepan with some water and heat it up slowly, because you don't want to, it'll burn. And then gently feather in that brie, stirring it constantly because you don't want it to clump up. And you throw in some mustard, dry mustard, and your some cayenne, sea salt, butter, and you just get a nice sauce and you shut it right down right away. You want it kind of lucid, so you want it a little on the runny side. And then you pull out your noodles, you stir in the lobster and bacon into your cheese sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just basically blend that into your macaroni, and you put it, I use Pam, and I use one of those big ceramic cake pans, my wife's, and you can do it indirect on the grill, on your smoker, or in the oven, whatever you want.
A little smoke flavor on there, yeah.
Whatever you want. And I throw some panko chips on top when I'm done. And you put that baby in for about 15 minutes.
Oh, just enough to solidify. Gosh.
You got to dice that lobster up nice and small so everybody gets a bite, though.
Yeah.
You don't want it too big, or that, you know, your brother-in-law going in front of you and he'll be picking all the lobster.
Right. Yeah, with a spoon. Yeah, exactly. You got one of those too, huh?
I do.
Yeah.
Doesn't everybody?
Yeah. Well, anyway,
they made a cartoon about them. I think it's like The Simpsons.
Yeah. If you're doing if you have any leftover pulled pork, or you're doing a pork butt, because you can feed a lot of people pretty economically if you're using pork butts, and it tastes good, really good right off the smoker. Couple things that are fun to make with this is simple Tostitos, the scoops, that and the pulled pork, and a little orange marmalade. Simple little 3-ingredient deal, but the saltiness of the scoop chip and the pulled pork with the orange marmalade on there, it's making my mouth water.
And then
just
you
talking
bake
about
it?
Nope. Nope, the marmalade and the pulled pork is cooked, obviously. There's no cheese or anything to bake. It's just a little 3-part deal. You pop them in your mouth, put them on a tray. So works out pretty good. But coming up next, Barbecue Bob went down to see our friend Brian Lesperance at Fen Valley Winery and had a little chat with Brian. We're going to be playing that next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The man the authorities came to blame for something that he never done.